The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And it's the 8 o'clock hour, and we welcome you here on this Tuesday, the fourth day of October. A beautiful morning unfolding here in Texas. Hope all is great for you. Headed to the Great State Fair. I hope that's a blessed day for you. It's a great day to be down there. It's a great day to be doing anything. Pretty great day to be examining the election. T-minus 5 weeks, 35 days from today. Early voting, there's that, starts in Texas on the 24th, Monday of 3 weeks from now. So we'll keep track of everything on those issues. I think there are a couple of states that started early voting already. And it's funny because one of my objections to early voting is you might learn something in the home stretch that makes you change your mind. Not true of a lot of people. I can't imagine something I would learn that would change mine. If there was some dyed-in-the-wool liberal, maybe there's not necessarily anything that would change yours. And I don't ever want it to be something like a personal he said, she said, because those are always tawdry, always unfortunate, and always suspicious. But maybe there's something that, you know, that Beto would say or do, you know, in the home stretch of the Texas election that makes somebody who's not thinking about much, really, which is a lot of people, oh no, Abbott, oh no, Grid, oh no, Beto, he goes to college, he's at colleges and the kids think he's cool, so I guess I'm going to vote for him. And then somebody comes to his senses on like November 3rd or something, 5 days before the election. The early voting is just a scourge. It's ridiculous. And I always lose this argument because everybody loves it because it's so convenient. It's so convenient. Well, maybe convenience isn't the guiding beacon of voting. Maybe voting needs to have a certain civic responsibility. And listen, I'll play ball with you. I've come out in favor of the big fat 3 day weekend of voting. Give me Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, three-day election day. Not a whole lot's going to happen in the home stretch of 72 hours, you think. But at least it's not week after week after week of early voting. Always hated it. Some of y'all came around to, you know, in 2020 when we saw all kinds of chicanery attached with less secure voting methods. I don't just believe in people showing up at a polling place and making sure who they are. I also believe in an electorate voting on the same window of information. That it's people showing. We didn't used to need this nonsense. Why do we now? I guess too many people, more human beings. I mean, okay. I mean, I know there's going to be growth. There's going to be population growth, especially in Texas. So much population growth that the grid couldn't even survive it. Hopefully they're working on fixing that. And early voting starts in Texas on the 24th. Early voting is about to start in Pennsylvania. One wonders if John Fetterman, and I don't know if Fetterman is able to complete enough sentences coherently to be on a debate stage with Dr. Oz at all. And it's very unfortunate. And I, as a human being, I want him to have a good, successful recovery from his stroke. But that's an absolute issue. And because communication skills and, you know, finishing sentences and stuff is important as a candidate, really important as a senator. Is he all right? If he is, great. Then let's get on a debate stage with Fetterman and Dr. Oz. If he's not all right, that's something voters need to know. Wouldn't you think? Dr. Oz was on with Laura Ingraham last night. We'll check in again. I'm always asking from Herschel to Dr. Oz to Blake Masters in Arizona to Ron Johnson in Wisconsin, who's trying to keep that seat against a challenger who is a radical leftist named Mandela Barnes. I think that's going to go well. Marco Rubio faces a challenge from Val Demings in Florida. I think that's going to go okay. We're not going to lose any seats. It's just, can we can we gain enough to regain Senate control, which I guess makes Mitch McConnell majority leader, whatever. That's where I would love to see a successful challenge. I don't need I'd like to see I like when leadership is challenged, makes them lay their cards on the table, makes for Kevin McCarthy to be challenged for House Speaker when, not if, but when Republicans take the House, that's great. But I'd be fine if he prevails, which he would. And Mitch would certainly prevail in any test for Senate Majority Leader, because how'd you like to stand up against him and lose? How'd you like to vote for somebody in the challenge against him and lose? You think Mitch has a long memory? I think he does. But still, I think that's healthy. And so, listen, all I want to do is make sure that Mitch is, in fact, the Majority Leader, because that means we won the Senate. Would I prefer, you know, a Ted Cruz as Majority Leader? Would I prefer a Rand Paul as Majority Leader in the Senate? Of course I would. But, let's see. That's called a good problem to have. Let's see if we can actually get the majority first. All right. Can we still win Georgia with Herschel's issue today? I believe we can. The Mark Davis test of political damage, mentioned it on the fly as the last hour closed. Let's take a look at a couple of moments in history, and then we'll hear the rest of Herschel on Hannity last night, because he went right to it, gave me the opportunity to address directly the charge that comes in the article of a woman from Herschel's past in the Daily Beast, and she hates him, and the Daily Beast hates him, so you got to take this with a grain. By the way, I would take anything like this with a grain of salt, no matter against whom it comes. If somebody comes up with some last-minute bomb dropped in the lap of a Democrat candidate at the last minute, I'd be equally distancing myself from it, because there are people who do things like this frequently with ulterior motive. They make stuff up. The timing does not speak well to credibility. And then it's up to, let's say that the tables were turned. Would I expect liberals, diehard liberals, to all of a sudden allow a conservative to win a seat just because something personal arose at the last minute in the form of some October surprise? I would not. I would not. So anyway, the Mark Davis theory of political damage is that damage does not occur. Damage does not occur unless some event, some revelation, some action, some gaffe, some something causes the people who support you to stop supporting you. If the media get all worked up, but you don't lose any voters, there's no damage. If the late night comics are all making fun of you, but your voters don't leave you, there's no damage. If voters who actually supported you, who are prone to support you, take a look at something and go, "I am out," well, then you might have some damage. Is it a little? Is it a lot? Sometimes you have to have actual elections to find that play out. For example, ready? Cases in point. You ready? Did Benghazi hurt Hillary? Not one molecule, because only conservatives cared about Benghazi. Did the mishandling of classified emails hurt Hillary? Yeah, because even Democrats and independents think you ought to handle classified materials with some skill. I know that heads directly to Trump. Of everybody I talk to, on the air, off the air, the mishandling of classified stuff is something people don't like. That would go on the list of things that you'd want somebody to be careful about. But the thing about the Trump stuff at Mar-a-Lago is it still involves the very foggy notion of declassifying. What are the nuts and bolts of a president declassifying something? And again, did Trump at any point have some ulterior motive in spiriting stuff off to the Chinese or something like that? Or, as I tend to believe, was he gathering material from deep in the intelligence community to deploy against those who tried to ruin him from within his own intelligence community with the Russia hoax? But I digress. Ken Paxton, has he been damaged by the lawyers in his office who had a hissy fit and bailed? Nope, because nothing has come from that. Has he been damaged by the securities law violations that have hung in the breeze for 6-7 years Nope, because nothing has come of them. Nothing. And this baffles and bewilders people. How in the world can Ken Paxton still have a career? How in the world is he still going to beat Rochelle Garza, which he is? It's because none of this has gone anywhere. None of it. So you get to Herschel. A woman comes out of the woodwork and says, he paid for my abortion in 2009. He says it's a lie. Last night on Hannity, Sean dug right in.
So they're claiming that on September 12th of 2009, that the woman has a receipt for an abortion. They're claiming that 5 days later, on September 17th, you sent a $700 check and that you sent it in a get well card. The get well card, it looks like it's included with your signature on in the article. Have you seen it? And is that your signature?
I haven't seen it. But, you know, I can tell you, I send out so many get well, send out so much of anything. But I can tell you right now, I never asked anyone to get an abortion. I never paid for an abortion, and it's a lie. And I'm going to continue to fight. You know, I tell you, that's what they want. They want this seat. But right now, they've energized me even more. And they're not going to take the seat. So they better work it even harder because they've jeopardized my kids. They've jeopardized my family. They think they can threaten me. They think they can scare me. Right now, all that done is that it's energized me more that I'm going to fight and win this seat for the great people of Georgia, because to have someone in the seat that lies to the people shouldn't be in the seat as a senator.
What about the $700 check? Is there anybody you can remember sending that much money to?
Well, I send money to a lot of people, and that's what's so funny. And let's go back to my park. You know, I do scholarship for kids. I give money to people all the time because I'm always helping people because I believe in being generous. God has blessed me, and I want to bless others. And I got into this race because I'm a Christian. I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I always tell everyone that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So whoever been out there want to lie on Herschel Walker, you're lying on the wrong one. It's best that you to go somewhere else because I'm going to win this seat for the great people of Georgia, because Georgia deserves to have a senator that trusts in the Georgia people and not no one that trusts in Joe Biden like Senator Warnock does.
So, and right there, that moment, watching last night, I said, you know what? Because using the framework that I've just delivered to you, as a result of this tawdry little story that arises in, you know, the unidentified accuser stuff, enough. If you are going to step forward with a charge designed to destroy a man's life or destroy a man's campaign or a woman's campaign, whatever, if you're coming out of the world, you must be identified so that your motives, your track record, your believability can be judged and assessed. That's only fair. It's only fair. So the question is on the table. Will this cause people who were prone to vote for Herschel, or who were absolutely going to vote for Herschel, leaning toward voting for Herschel, to go, nah, can't do it. I now suddenly want Raphael Warnock to be my senator some more. I don't think so. I do not think so. All righty, 8:21. How's Dr. Oz doing? Couple of other races, couple of other thoughts about things in the news, a couple of items from the text line, the Patriot Mobile text line. It is active this morning at 866-660-5759. And of course, you are welcome on the phone lines for actual conversation. Same number, 866-660-5759. 5 weeks to the election, Texas issues, national issues, all kinds of things swirling around the topical atmosphere. 866-660-5759, Mark Davis, 822. Yeah. I know Jimmy Buffett is the go-to for artists that make you want to throw off your shoes and get a beach chair.
And I'm just a waste of a...
I'm a big fan of Jack Johnson. Wasting time. My theme song video. From the On and On LP.
So why don't we get together?
LP. Listen, 1978. Yes, it is. Forever. All right, 866-660-5759. To the phones. We're in McKinney. Justin, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call, Mark. Hi. Hey, I think the most frustrating part for most of the people that I've talked to is this, is that Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy, the Senate and the House over there, our majority leadership over there, is weak and compromised in most of our minds. And I say that because we've had supermajorities in the past. We've had majorities where we had the House and the Senate, and it's been the same leadership, and we keep getting the same thing over and over and over again. In our opinion, and most of the people that I've talked to, we are frustrated with the leadership. We know we're going to get the same thing regardless of the power play that's put in part, in place over there. Mitch McConnell is anti against any MAGA candidate out there. He wants to support any Republican that's against an American First agenda. And I don't believe Kevin McCarthy is any way remotely for us as we the people, Mark.
Wow. Okay. Well, stay put, because there's history to back up what you say. It has given us speakers like John Boehner and Paul Ryan, who have been mild warriors, mild at best. I think Trump made McCarthy better. He would be the first serious House Majority Leader, Speaker of the House in the post-Trump era, and I believe that McCarthy will not disappoint. In McConnell, you're 100% correct. I don't take any pleasure in saying this, but I think that Mitch McConnell would rather be a troublemaking minority leader than have to welcome in MAGA, America First, serious, ballsy, aggressive, unapologetic conservatives. Because I don't think that's his style, and I hope we create that problem in his life, because he's going to have to manage that. And I also wish, and I think this is your bottom line story, that there would be a chance for kind of a big reset button. That if we're lucky enough to do this, that somebody could run against Kevin McCarthy, somebody could run against Mitch McConnell, and it would actually be an honest race. Maybe the way to do it would be secret ballot.
And I like that, because your point that you had just made at the last segment over there about what the repercussions would be if you voted against him, I mean, that's the thing. We know he's going to spend the majority of money to support Republican candidates that aren't MAGA or anything to do with Trump over there on his backing. And I think, like I said, the problem that we've got is this. We want to see a Jim Jordan as a Speaker of the House. We want to see a Rand Paul or a Ted Cruz or somebody of that caliber over there. We need exactly what you said. If we're going to reset an American First agenda, then we can't have the same people in play over there and the Senate and the House over there to represent them, because those are not our views. Realistically, in 2022.
Yeah, I believe you are correct. If we have a majority, I don't use the old dog new tricks line, but maybe it applies. Mitch McConnell's been around forever, and probably will not. Maybe the leopard changing his or the tiger changing his stripes, leopard changing his spots. I hope it's the problem we have. I hope we get the majority, and then we can then pressure Mitch to be the kind of majority leader that we need. I'm going to gamble that McCarthy will not disappoint us. But hey, those would be called good problems to have. Let's see what happens. Let's win first and see what happens. Superb points. Thank you, man. Appreciate it very much. 8:31, Mark Davis into the newsroom we go, and here is Gordon Griffin.
Meet George Jetson. His boy Elroy.
His boy Elroy. And I'll leave Jane out. Some serious musicianship going on in the studio for the Jetsons theme. Jetsons on our mind, because Gordon invoked them. And I'm just going to take a short side trip on this, because this is insane. Okay, you mentioned this company, Wisk Aero, W-I-S-K, Wisk, like the laundry detergent, I guess. They are an aerospace manufacturer based in Mountain View, California. They develop, and Gordon's story was about another step toward this, self-flying vertical takeoff and landing aircraft designed to be operated as air taxis. I'm a Jetsons kid. I watched this wonderful show, and I thought, wow, the future holds this. all those wonderful, you know, cars floating around and, you know, people living up on top of things that were miles in the sky. You know, to reach that time is an amazing thing. I did, even when I was, even when I'm eight, you know, I'm watching some Jetsons, I'm thinking, how are they not ramming into each other? I mean, is there really a serious notion of air traffic control in the era of the Jetsons? I don't know. And yet, here's the thing. Now, there are people who want to make some semblance of this real. And here's the deal. I don't even believe in the efficacy right now of the self-driving car. What kind of death toll, continuing death toll, or because you've seen the guy, there's famous video of this guy who just rams over a woman, you know, walking her bike across the highway. Car didn't see it. Boom, she's dead. He was reading a book because self-driving car. And there are places, I guess there are the test projects underway where a lot of them West Coast, shocker, where on some limited street environments, they got self-driving cars out there. And by the way, they're not even really self-driving cars. There's a human being sitting there, like, ready to take the wheel if something happens. Well, that's the proof that this doesn't work. It's proof that this is extremely incomplete technology. And how many people are going to have to die before we come to our senses and realize that we're just not there yet, and I don't know when we will be. I think it's going to take years and years and years of testing these things out. They're going to need to build fake cities out in the desert or something and get to the point where these things actually work without hitting people, you know, fire hydrants, buildings. I don't trust it. I don't trust it for a minute. And now this company, Wisk Aerospace, Wisk Aero, they want us to embrace the notion of hopping into a vehicle with no driver that flies? Are you high right now? So, anyway. All right, I mentioned, let's change Senate races. How's Dr. Oz doing? And if your first answer is better than Fetterman, you may be true, you may be accurate politically and medically. I want Fetterman to recover from his stroke. Has he? I don't know. He seems like sort of that gutsy, hoodie-wearing, tatted-up street brawler kind of guy who would love, absolutely love, to get onto a debate stage. The reason that has not happened, the reason that you're just not seeing a debate, and the buzz is that he just, a debate is demanding stuff. A debate. So is a talk show. How am I doing? A debate demands things of you. It demands the ability, as I often have here, to complete sentences in the English language. And so if he's just not medically, physically able to do so, that's something voters need to know. Laura Ingraham asked Dr. Oz last night what he thinks the reason is, because the polls are starting to shift in his favor. Why?
I'm showing up. Voters want to know that you care. And the way you express that is by listening to what they're saying, which is what you do as a doctor as well, and then addressing their kitchen table concerns. While Fetterman's talking about the topics you just mentioned and lots of other issues that have nothing to do with the crisis happening here in Pennsylvania, I'm talking about crime, the highest homicide rate ever in the city's history in Philadelphia. I'm talking about drugs, fentanyl in particular, and the open border that's causing it to kill folks in Pennsylvania more than ever before. We're top five in the country with fentanyl deaths. I'm talking about a 40-year high of inflation and tax rates that are through the roof, advocated by not just Fetterman as a candidate for the Senate, but also as a lieutenant governor, he was pushing for almost a 50% tax increase.
So these are things, these are taxes, crime, inflation, a border so open. And again, a border being open for the passage of human beings is one thing, but the whole fentanyl crisis is quite another. And meanwhile, the Democrat Party comes at you with what? You're not going to be able to get the abortion you want. They're coming at you with what? Climate change? They're coming at you with what? Republicans are evil. What, one of the first elements of trouble is when you can't really say the great things about what your party has done or what your party even wants to do to make a problem better. All you do is smear the other people. The Republican approach needs to be far more than just Democrats have terrible ideas, which they do. But you got to go way beyond that and say, what would we do that's better? We're going to be the law and order party. We are going to be the strong borders party. We are going to be the gender normalcy party. We are going to, and we're going to offer positives. We're going to move things in a positive direction, not just throw bricks at Democrats. And by and large, we have candidates that are doing exactly that. 866-660-5759. We are in Euless. Tiffany, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Marvelous. Thank you for asking. How are you doing today?
Just super. Thank you.
So I saw the Uvalde Beto commercial.
Yep.
And isn't that kind of saying that Beto's going to take our guns?
Well, he doesn't say so, but the approach, let's describe the ad. I assume it's the same one that I've seen. Tiffany's talking about the ad that shows a grieving mother showing pictures of her departed daughter complaining that Greg Abbott has done nothing to make schools safer, and that is why she's going to vote for Beto. It makes me incredibly uncomfortable. The ad intentionally places me and anybody who believes in the Second Amendment in, you know, not to her face, obviously, but in the awkward position of arguing with a grieving mother. But in this particular case, the mom, bless her, we pray for her, we pray for healing, we pray for God's grace and comfort in her life and in her family, but she is 100% mistaken if she believes that Beto's gun grabbing will make schools safer, and of course that's what he's going to do. Of course it is.
Okay, well, see, and that's what I thought, and yes, I mean, definitely, I grieve with her. I mean, to loss of a child.
Of course.
It's going to be, that's just going to be heartbreaking. I have three adult children, but that would be heartbroken for me, you know?
And for any of us, because we're human beings. We're human beings first. Tiffany, thanks. And I mentioned this ad the other day, and, you know, and I asked kind of rhetorically, should somebody even run an ad like that? And I guess my ultimate answer is, yeah, if you want. I mean, because the bottom line is, I mean, even though it's... I don't know. Is it using her as a political pawn? She knows what she's doing. She's a grown woman. And listen, she has a self-professed view, I guess, of in favor of Beto's gun grabbing. And if she wants to, you know, be on an ad of his talking about how she thinks, you know, she wants him to be governor, that's called free speech, and that's a campaign ad you get to run. Upon seeing it, though, I get to point out its intellectual dishonesty, even while absolutely making sure that we as human beings gather around this woman and lift her up in prayer and in comfort in her moment of grief. It can be moments of grief that will also bend your brain. It is possible for something to happen that is such an atom bomb in your life that your ability to think of things critically can vanish. Now, if this woman was a diehard gun grabbing lib, you know, the day before the Uvalde massacre, well, okay. But can I see some people going through something that is so horrible as this, and thinking, well, maybe if we outlawed all those nasty, terrible guns, maybe this wouldn't happen in the next Uvalde. And of course, that's false. We do not have a gun problem in America. We never have. We have a people problem. We have a mental health problem. We have a crime problem. And that requires just a little bit of logic, a little bit of critical thinking to arrive at that conclusion. And maybe when your life has been just absolutely destroyed and blown apart by the evil doing of a shooter like in Uvalde, it's just asking too much to have people connect those dots. And that's why I will never take, you know, huge issue with somebody on an individual basis and argue with them or anything like that. I'm simply going to say across the board, that whether you are a grieving parent or just somebody who places yourself in her shoes and prays for her, and it says we all should. I always preach empathy for people in terms of how they think. I think I've just described how I can totally understand how, if somebody's been through this, they may immediately default to some notion that says, oh, here's a politician wants to make all the bad, nasty guns go away. I can understand how somebody feels that way, but that's not logic. That's not how the world works. That's not how elections should prevail. We do not have a gun problem. We never have. We have a people problem. 850, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Okay, Beto question off the text line, Patriot Mobile. Speaking of which, Patriot Mobile text line, 866-660-5759. Little Jay Giles band and Love It Is, Gotta Hold On Me. Somebody asked on the Patriot Mobile text line, hey Mark, didn't Beto say in the debate that he is not, in fact, going to come after all of our AR-15s? Yes, he did. Parentheses, yet. Yet, to their credit, the debate moderating team put together some audio, including Beto on a presidential debate stage where he spent about 5 minutes in that campaign before learning that not enough people wanted to vote for him. A lesson similarly learned by Kamala Harris. Anyway, though, he had said, you're damn right we're coming for your AR-15s and your AK-47s. He now says, and said in the debate the other night, that what he really needs to do, what he would need to do as governor, is focus on things that could succeed, focus on things that could pass. He made these references to common sense. They always do this, common sense gun control measures. But then once they do that, then it's never enough for these people. It's never enough. It's never enough for the left. Oh, listen, we're only coming after things named after the most pernicious Confederate generals. We're not coming after the founding fathers. And then we gave in on the Confederate names and they're coming after the founding fathers. It's never enough for these people. So is he ultimately coming for your guns? Of course he is. And the good news is he will never be governor of Texas. He's a young man. Never say never. Not this time. He's not. 858.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.